This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
Imagine you go to the hospital, you got a really bad migraine, bad headache. You get there and they say, oh my God, you are having some sort of a brain bleed. We have to do surgery right away. When you wake up, they tell you, we've got good news and bad news. The good news is you're still alive. The bad news is we lost part of your skull.
Oh.
So you've got a part of your head now that's dented, and we didn't know exactly where we left your skull.
Does it maybe look thinner?
Not in the places you want to.
Yeah.
This guy, this actually happened in Georgia, and they lost a large piece of a man's skull after removing it during surgery for a brain bleed.
Is this the state of Georgia or the country of
the
Georgia?
The state. It is not far from us at all.
How was it there?
It was in Midtown Atlanta at Emory University Hospital.
Emory? That's supposed to be one of the top places in the country.
Well, they do great surgery. They just don't keep up with things well.
Had a little oopsie.
It's kind of like, you know, that scatterbrain genius kind of thing going, I guess.
I know I put that thing somewhere around here.
Have y'all seen another piece of puzzle? I can't finish this puzzle till we're done.
Somebody's using it as a candy dish over there.
It's a 5-inch by 6-inch piece of skull.
Yeah.
And after he healed from the surgery, he was scheduled to have the bone flap reimplanted. And they said, well, we don't know where it went. So they had to create one out of synthetic material, and they charged him for the new surgery and the piece that they created.
Lawsuit
where
city.
I don't know what they're thinking.
Yeah,
call all nines, baby.
All twos, all threes. Because, I mean, that's what I don't understand about doctors and hospitals. They mess up all the time. They get your, like, they take your appendix out, and it turns out not to be the problem. But they still charge you.
But see, I wonder if that's the doctors or if that's insurance making them.
Well, here's what they've done now.
I'm confused.
With the charging.
Well, insurance is like, they're having to pay out. They would love it if you didn't get charged. They got to help pay your bills.
Well, here's what they're doing now, though. They are
No, I'm very confused.
They are making it our responsibility to do part of the surgery because you got to, put an X where your appendix is, so we will make sure we do, you know.
Well, they make you write which leg's coming off.
Yeah, if you got an amputated leg or an arm, like, well, can you do the homework? Tell us, is this the one?
And I'm like, I got diabetes. I obviously don't take that good care of myself anyway.
Yeah.
I don't trust me to get this right.
Uh-huh.
Imagine you write down your leg starting at your thigh, not this leg, but you're wearing shorts and they've cut it off below the knee and then they pull the shorts up and they were like, oh, it's, not
it says this
leg. This
leg to them until they see that. Yeah. Don't do that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things in life I don't want to be in charge of, especially if I'm paying that much money, like at the hospital.
I think there should be a new rule. If I was to run for president, this would be my rule that I would run on. You can't make someone pay if the hospital gets the wrong diagnosis. So, like,
if they lost a piece of you, that you ain't allowed.
No. I'm going different than that. I'm saying they give you an appendix removal, and then later they go, "Oh wow, it's actually your gallbladder that needs to come out." They can't charge you for the appendix if that was the wrong thing. It's like, no, that one's a freebie because you did the wrong one.
Okay, but it might be a different surgeon doing that
specific
thing.
I don't care. It's the hospital.
So you have to penalize the guy that did the first one and made the mistake, not the guy that's about to do the other one.
Too bad it's not like that game where if you get the wrong thing, it buzzes.
Operation.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a good name for that game.
It is, isn't it? God, people probably have no trouble remembering it.
He's got butterflies in his stomach. Let's take that butterfly.
I just don't know why we pay for all of this stuff. I asked a doctor about it once, and he goes, well, there's a reason we call it a practice.
Oh.
I was like, well, that's scary.
How long do they practice?
Apparently forever. But that's not right that we pay for stuff and then pay to fix something. They like, oh, we left two sponges in your stomach. And you're like, okay, and we're going to charge you $100,000 to take them out.
I had a friend years ago, the doctor left something inside her.
Oh, wow.
That wasn't, and she sued, got lots of money.
Well, good, she deserved it.
Yep.
So my she could pay for her second surgery.
My mom's experiencing some issues because of a doctor, and my sister's trying to encourage her to file a lawsuit.
I mean, I'm a list checker. Can a doctor and a nurse have like little post-it notes like, okay, these are all the things we need to be looking for once we're cleaned up
They're
here.
Supposed to do that, but they get lazy sometimes.
Yeah.
I don't get it, but I just am tired of us paying for stuff that wasn't even right to begin with and then paying to fix it when they mess it up. That's not right.
Well, I just don't know.
Thank you.
I just don't know how you lose a piece of somebody's skull.
A big piece.
Yeah. It's just weird.
That's about the same size as your average photograph of a 4x6 photograph. This is bigger than that.
It's like the top of it.
Wow. Tori said, it'd make a great ashtray.
Yeah.
It's curved. Like, check this out. I told the guy I couldn't find it afterwards. He had to pay anyway.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
This is taking a toll on your mental health, and you've probably already done it today.
Work.
Okay, yeah, that's a
good one. Interstate 185.
Yeah. No, it's not driving either.
No, it's not the toll.
It's your social media.
Thank you, Kato.
Yeah. 3 in 4 Gen Zers are pointing fingers at social media for the negative impact on their mental health.
Okay, that is... Yeah. I mean, you're choosing to go there.
Exactly.
No, we're not.
Well, the breakdown goes, it's Instagram, it's TikTok, Facebook. They all have an adverse impact on their well-being, according to the Gen Zers, and probably you too, if you're not a Gen Zer. And the reason they use social media, they said they're just bored. 66% of the people said, I'm bored. 59% said, I want to laugh at something. So they're searching for a laugh on social media.
I'm sorry, but if you're choosing to go there and then you complain about it being bad for you, shut up. I mean, don't go there if it's bad for you.
And if you're going there for a laugh, why is that affecting your mental health?
I know. Just go to Reels and look for like ferrets on Roombas or something.
Because everybody goes for shock value instead of laughter. So when you get on there and you're like, I just want to see cute puppy videos, the first thing that pops up is political stuff.
Okay.
You're like, ugh, it's not what I'm here for.
Could be stressful, but it might take you a while to find the one that actually makes you laugh. Scroll through the garbage.
Search for pets on Roombas and you'll be fine.
Another reason they're doing it is they want to be in the know of what's going on in the world. And 50% said they want to check up on friends. But the Gen Zers, half of them said they feel some sort of negative emotions as a result of stress and anxiety just because of social media.
I'll tell you what it is they blame other people for their own problems. They're like, oh, it's someone else's fault. But I'm sorry, you chose to go there. Don't go there if you don't like the results.
Well, a lot of times, too, though, it could be, you know, you make a socially awkward post, or maybe you're socially awkward. You make a post, you think you're normal, and then all of a sudden you find out, I ain't normal. Everybody's piling on like a big old dog pile. Like, why ain't anybody agreeing with me on this one?
Or you're like, this is going to be such a funny post, and it gets... one like.
Oh,
and that's like, another awesome. One.
Why does it bother you when you get zero likes or any comments on anything that you post? You've spent all that time trying to be clever or creative. You post it and you get 2 likes and like, why is this one not taking off?
I love the people that get on there and they're like, oh, I just stated my opinion. I don't need you to come tell me why it's wrong. And you're like, well, that's, why did you put it here? You talk about that sometimes, Kato.
Yeah, well.
Well, you know what?
No. You talk about the people who do that, and you're like, they said, oh, don't come to my page and tell me what to do. But it's like you posted it for everyone to comment
exactly.
on.
Exactly. If you put prayers, I need prayers. I need to know why you need prayers.
Yeah.
Because I'm not wasting prayers on you if it's nothing I don't think you need.
I know, because they'll be like, well, I really need to rob this bank successfully. Silent prayers.
All right, I would pray for that.
Wow.
I don't want to get anyone hurt.
But a lot of times, too, they'll make a comment. They wouldn't do it downtown like on Main Street because someone could come up to them and tell them what they think about that comment.
True.
So if it was in person, they wouldn't do that.
Well, I appreciate that they're not doing it on Main Street. Yeah. That would be really annoying.
Well, another reason why it stresses you out because you really know that it's a huge waste of time when you get on there for a long time. So you know you're doing it to yourself.
Or you get mad at that one friend that likes everybody's post but yours.
Oh, that's another one too.
And you're like, well, you like everyone's post, but I post something, you don't like it?
Yeah.
Or the person who tells you they see their post, like every day, they'll be like, oh, I saw that cute thing that you posted, but they don't like it. They don't comment. They don't do anything with it, but they let you know that they saw it.
Or, she's calling me out, I think.
Or, you know, you go out to eat with them, like, hey, did you see that post I sent you? Because you didn't comment. You didn't say anything.
I know what she's talking about, too.
Yeah. But you'll go to the trouble of sending them a cute video or something, and they don't watch it.
Yeah.
But then you go out to dinner with them, like, hey, did you see that post? And like, I did not. When did you send it? 3 weeks ago, and you have not taken the time to see it?
Yeah, but then they'll send you stuff.
Yeah.
But they don't ever, like, respond to what you've said. I'm like, okay. No, I'm not going to respond to you until you go back and watch my video.
It needs to be mutual watching.
You need to text it to me. I do not check any of those messages from those services. I don't check Facebook Messenger. I don't check Instagram Messenger. I don't check any messenger. Send it to me on text, and I'll be like, that's the funniest video I ever saw. But if you send it the other way, I ain't going to see it.
All right, well, nearly.
I liked your post, Tori.
I just got the notification.
did you watch it, or was it just
she was in the Saturday market over the weekend, and I had seen her picture of her and her husband, John. I said, oh, I see you dressed up, and I didn't like it. No, I just loved it. You got a heart for me.
Well, I was talking long enough to give you time to do that, Kate.
I gave her a heart, and then I unfriended her.
There you go. You guys
sorry,
have issues.
I've been busy. What were we talking about?
Well, the negative, I guess, impact on your mental health because of social media.
I am so stressed right now.
I think we witnessed it firsthand.
Because your friends have expectations that you cannot meet, Kato.
I'm going to have to go lie down.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
If you're doing any air travel this summer, or I guess fall is almost on us, I'm going to warn you about a couple airports to avoid. And if you've ever experienced Atlanta Airport, it's certainly not my favorite either when it comes to making you walk about 10 miles to get from one place to another.
Go to Dallas.
Dallas is on the list, Kato.
That's why we flew into Dallas and, of course, had to wait till the next day to catch our flight. Flight got
that
canceled.
Was that bad?
Everybody I've talked to that ever flies through Dallas usually has a canceled flight.
I'll be honest. Greenville-Spartanburg's grown a little bit too much for me because back in the day, you had to go either right or left,
yeah.
And that's it. And that's all
that's
the walking
still
you had
it,
to do.
Isn't it?
And for the most part, you have to walk a lot more than you used
to.
Yeah,
they've remodeled. They're doing some remodeling as far as the front area, but it's still a nice airport.
I love it.
Flying
me
out
too.
Of Greenville.
It's only got, 10 terminals?
I don't know.
I mean, it's certainly not enough for where you can walk yourself to death.
Well,
Kato, it's funny you mentioned Dallas. It is the number one worst for this. You can walk as far as 2.16 miles from one terminal to the farthest one.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
That's, to me, is like you need to actually need rent a car or plan an overnight stay if you're going to go 2.1 miles.
Is that including, though, the trams and stuff that you take and the, you know, those walking escalator type deal things?
It can include the escalator walking things, but that doesn't include trams.
Okay.
These are the longest walks. And Dallas was number one. Next was Washington Dulles, which is 1.6 miles.
Been there, too.
George Bush International in Houston, Texas. So Texas is bad about this at 1.5 miles. Denver International Airport, 1.4 miles. And JFK in New York is 1.38 miles.
Plus, Denver has that creepy horse.
Yes.
With the red eyes.
The
and
tank.
There's like all those, yeah.
I don't think I've been through Denver then.
I hadn't either.
It's a creepy little airport.
Well, not little.
Well, true.
They claim there's a big underground city up under it that's pretty much where government's going to be when the end of the world happens.
I heard that it's like nuclear safe or whatever.
Something like that.
Well, the thing about it is you end up walking, I mean, so far, which isn't the big deal in itself, but you're usually in a hurry.
Mm-hmm.
And what they really love to do is change your gates several times. So you go to the one that's 1.5 miles away, and then they're like, oh, we've moved you over, and you're at D48, and they're like, oh, we're at A30 now, and so you end up walking 1.5 miles back.
And that's what happened to me the first time I got left by an airplane. It was in the Atlanta airport. We were supposed to be gate A something. They changed it to T9, and we had like 5 minutes to get there. So we showed up right as the plane was taking off.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
That is so annoying.
Last time I flew is they changed the gate on us, and I went right past the one that they changed it to. I walked all the way down, and there was nobody there. My wife. And then it showed the change gate. And I walked right past the sign that had my back to Greenville.
You're like, I am so early. No one's here yet.
Yeah. I was like, what's going on?
Well, they say there's a way to take some of the stress off of you whenever you go flying, and that is to play airport bingo.
How you now, do that?
It's kind of like whenever you go with the kids in the car and they have those bingo cards and you look for like a VW and you look for a lawyer sign on the billboard and things like that. So this one has things that you try to, you fill up your card, you put these on the card, and whoever gets bingo first is the winner. They say if you include things like enraged Southwest passengers, that can be a mark on your bingo card.
All righty.
A pilot staggering drunkenly out of the American Airlines lounge.
Oh,
that's
not
one.
All of them.
I didn't say all of them. That's why this is just you get points whenever you see one. A taped up cardboard box doubling as luggage, usually on the Spirit Carousel. A TSA agent ignoring their security monitor. That's worth a point.
Oh, wow.
A guy enjoying his security pat down a bit too much. That would be me. Like, are you just happy to see me? Or are you patting me down?
I like those ones you stand in now and you just put your hands up in the air and it rotates around you.
Yeah, it's not too much radiation.
You know, it shows a lot.
Yeah.
Not always.
He's talking about me.
Yeah. Oh. If you walk past an enclosure with a bunch of sad smokers inside, the little smoking areas.
You don't see smoking areas anymore.
I know that. But some of the bigger airports will have like a little glassed-in room.
They used to.
They say also if you see someone with a therapy animal that's obviously just their pet, that's an easy way to get a bingo fast right there. Mm-hmm. A dead-eyed husband wishing he was any place but the airport with his wife and three screaming kids. That would get you a lot of bingo points, too.
Well, mom's not going to be that happy either, really.
Some guy who's out on the tarmac slamming your suitcase into the ground.
Don't you? You hate, sometimes you're looking out the airplane window, you've already settled in, and you see him like throwing your luggage around.
Or you see your luggage and you're like, why isn't it coming over here? Why is it going to that plane?
Wrong place.
And then they say also, anytime you spot a miserable gate agent arguing with someone who is entitled and thinks they should be moved up to first class.
Wow.
So those are things that you can use for your bingo card when you're traveling.
You ever like sometimes when you're getting off the plane, it's like the stewardess or what are they called now?
I can't remember.
Flight attendants. They're going, goodbye. Have a nice day. Have a nice day. Goodbye. And then it comes your turn and they don't say anything. You're like, why didn't they say goodbye to me?
Oh, you must have been the problem, child.
I got my feelings hurt. You didn't say goodbye to me. Bye. That's weird.
It's the Hawk and Tom Show on B93.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I tell you what, I am a little frightened for the next few years. In my family, I know my kids are going to be driving soon. And my youngest drives a golf cart now around the neighborhood. He's pretty good. My oldest, it's just scary.
You scare me.
Well, and I'm the one teaching them.
They come by it honestly.
It's like, you almost nicked that mailbox.
My sister said she never has ridden with her daughter.
Oh, my.
My niece. Yeah. She says, nope. She goes, I've never been in a car with her driving ever.
How'd they train her?
I don't know if she's ever learned, but she drives.
I can see that out there sometimes.
Well, I know the old people have some issues when it comes to driving. They've been out on the road way too long. And you almost need a cutoff age for the old people.
Well, they kind of do. That's like you have to take the test.
Well, I guess.
No, you don't.
At some point, you do. You got to at least go in there and do the eye test.
Oh, yeah. The eye test, okay. Yeah.
I've seen them helping them. I saw a lady coaching this old woman, and I was like, don't you think we're going to be on the street with her later? She's like, oh, she needs to be able to get around.
Well, there's all kinds of distractions, especially for the younger drivers, like, you know, passengers in your car, your friends in the car, you're cutting up, you're laughing, you're having a good time. Cell phones, obviously, eating and drinking stuff while you're driving. But they asked the driving instructors to name the top mistakes that the new drivers make. These are the top ones that they make. Not paying close enough attention to traffic. That's why you're in traffic. Like, you're not paying attention to the cars in front of you.
Yeah, I mean, people don't.
Yeah.
You have to watch out for everyone.
Yeah.
And you could tell when somebody pulls out in front of you and goes 20 miles an hour, and you're already going 60, you have to slam on brakes because they didn't even pay attention that you were going that fast just to wait till you pass by. Don't get me started off.
I told my kids, I said, always use your blinkers. That way, if you're going to do something stupid, you've at least warned everyone about it.
Well, and it warns you, too, if there's somebody in your blind spot, if you got a car that makes the noise.
Last week, I almost hit somebody.
And that was number two on the list, not checking blind spots.
I usually do.
Okay. Well, they're a blind spot for a reason. I can't see, so why would I check?
Yeah,
you know what? We're going to have him on our show. Reed Wilson is a BMW instructor, and he told us how to adjust our mirrors on the side mirrors to actually get rid of most of your blind spots.
Did you know that your car is not supposed to be in your line of vision in the side
mirror?
That
is exactly what Reed says. You're not actually supposed to see the side of your car at all.
Yeah.
It's hard to get used to that, though, because it feels like you should.
I got to see a little bit of it to know where I look. I'll see a plane fly over.
Well, okay, that's not aimed right.
If your teens are driving now, this should help you. So not checking blind spots. Next on the list, these are the most common mistakes new drivers make, rolling through stop signs.
Yes, I got pulled over for that once.
And of all the things, that's probably one of the least dangerous ones you do on the road.
I would agree, because if you are stopped and you're just going through, most of the time, you know, especially if it's a four-way stop, it's not going to be that bad of an accident.
That's not what I had in mind.
Oh, okay.
I assumed if you're rolling it, you've looked everywhere. You just didn't come to that complete stop, which I'm not real sure why that's such a big deal.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Tailgating was number four on the list for new drivers.
Yeah, now, you don't mean at a game, like a Clemson game.
No, not a game.
Actually, yes, because then you get drunk and then you drive.
True.
I was at a drive-thru the other day, and the person, you know the rule where you're supposed to have like a car length? Like,
no. You mean in a drive-thru?
I was at a drive-thru, but you know the rules on the road where you need to leave a car length behind?
Right.
Like in case something happens, even at a stop sign, some people will not pull up all the way. I had to follow this old man through the drive-thru the whole way with like a car length in between him and the guy in front of him.
Yeah, you don't need one in a drive-thru.
Well,
in fact,
I know
just
that.
The opposite.
I was so furious. I was like, I just pull up just a little bit so I can pay this lady.
Wow.
They make a tool for that. It's called your horn.
That's rude.
You can tap it. You can tap it politely.
You got to be careful because we got a special finger gesture over the weekend.
That won't hurt you.
This girl was taking so long to pull into the parking garage, so John did the like, ding, ding, and she...
Yeah.
Did a bird at us. And we were like, wow. All right. Well,
my favorite. People, man, I hate people.
My favorite story is that old lady. I had an old lady about 95. Like, you could see her. She had an old marquee or some old car. Didn't have electric windows. And you could see her rolling her window down. And it took, and it's red light, you know. And she just slowly puts her hand up there with her Q-tip and flipped me off. Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, but she raised her hand in the air. Waved it like she did care. Thank you, old lady.
Oh, grandma.
Yeah. And then signaling too late or too early is the common mistakes new drivers make.
Yeah. Never-ending blinker.
General rule is at least 100 feet before you turn.
Yeah, you get those people that'll turn it on a mile before the road they're going to turn on.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you got some people that never turn them off.
That's
they just
true.
Blink all day.
It's a turn signal, ladies and gentlemen.
And don't you hate that? Because you, like on the interstate, I was out of town and on the interstate, and the left blinker's on, you're thinking somebody wants to get over in front of you. So you wait and you wait.
wait.
That's where I don't make that mistake. I don't wait. I just assume if they needed to get over, they would have got over.
True.
Tom will give them a little nudge every once in a while, help them turn quicker. Apparently,
I'd like
we need to educate people about the turn signal this morning.
Attention motorists. Do you wish you could alert other drivers of your intention to change direction?
I'd love to, but is that even possible?
It is, with the turn signal.
The turn signal? What's that?
The turn signal uses 20th century technology to enable a flashing light on the exterior of your vehicle.
Wow, sounds complicated.
No, all you need to do is gently flick a lever that's located just to the left of the steering wheel. It couldn't be easier.
But that must be an expensive modification.
It's not. Every single automobile already has a turn signal installed. Use it for right turns, left turns. You can even use your turn signal on the freeway before you change lanes.
Sounds great. I'm going to try using my turn signal right away.
We wish you would. Spread the word. Eventually, maybe every driver will use their turn signal. Wouldn't that be great?
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
I'm going to tell you a story this morning about something called the yacht game, and you may know a little about it. During the war in the 1940s, there was a shortage of fuel and rationing, and so people had to make their pennies go farther, much like right now with our inflation. Mm-hmm. So people began to play games in their home as a way of entertaining themselves without spending a fortune. So some of these families began to make their own games. And a wealthy couple who still held on to their money had a yacht, and they created a game for themselves that they learned a little bit of in Tibet. And they modified it, made the game for themselves, and all their friends loved it. So they contacted a game company and said, "How much would it cost for us to make some of these to give to our friends?" And the guy who ran this game company says, "I'll tell you what, I'll give you 1,000 copies of the game for you and your friends if I can have the rights to it afterwards."
Oh.
Now, the game was really simple, but yet still somewhat complicated. It used 5 dice, and you would roll them all at once. And mm-hmm. they played this game on their yacht. They called it the yacht game.
I know where you're going with this.
I knew immediately when he said the yacht game.
Of Monopoly.
Edwin Lowe bought this. He actually turned the game and renamed it Yahtzee.
Oh,
Yahtzee!
Oh, I missed it.
I was about to figure that out.
Sorry.
Yahtzee. That's a better name for it than the yacht game, to be honest.
Yeah. It made sense for them to call it that whenever they had it. That's because when he sold it in 1973 to Milton Bradley, which eventually became a subsidiary of Hasbro.
Yeah.
But despite the various ownership changes, Yahtzee has remained a very profitable game even after the transition to digital. It's still playable even on the Apple Watch.
I don't think I've ever played it.
Oh, it's a fun game.
It's been years, but that's a game you need dice in your hand.
No.
Yes.
I've got an app for that. I play it all the time.
Still, though, you know, sometimes it's fun to sit down and play a board game.
Cato, I'll be honest with you. You are a little bit of an old man.
See? I got Yahtzee right there. Start a solo game. I'm ready to go. And it even makes noise for you, Cato, if you want me to roll the dice. I don't know how to play it. Oh, here you go.
See?
Here you go. See? It sounds like rolling dice.
Sounds like a fake rolling dice.
Yeah, how do you know the game's not cheating you?
Yep.
Because it's computer generated.
Yep.
Versus luck of the actual draw.
Right.
Do we have anyone under the age of 30 on our show? I mean, it is like an anti-technology game.
No, I'm not anti-technology. I just say sometimes it's fun to sit down and play. Families will actually sit and play board games. My family, we play Uno a lot as a family.
Sometimes they're not all together at the same time, and they can still play this way.
I was going to say, you know, times are tough. If I sit my kids down and say, "Hey, I have created a game. We don't need to go to Frankie's Fun Park. Or we don't need to go to Chuck E. Cheese or Dave & Buster's. I got a game I just made."
This is interesting, too. Whenever he first got the game and started marketing, he sold it as an educational game. Sales were lackluster at best.
Okay.
So then he decided a different take. He began organizing Yahtzee parties at home for people. And they would actually go around and teach them how to play and did a grassroots effort. And this caused it to start to spread and then became a huge game. So he actually made this grassroots effort and it paid off. Now, there was another game during that time that he also purchased, and this was whenever he was a traveling salesman. He noticed that people in Georgia were playing a relatively easy game called Beano. He thought Beano had potential.
Uh-huh.
So he established his company, and he changed the name slightly to make a fortune.
Beano, like, take it before, and then the game is to find out if it works after your meal.
Okay, that would be the gas stuff that you're talking about.
You know what's so funny is she knows about that.
Has anyone guessed what Beano was?
Bingo?
It was Bingo.
Oh,
are you serious?
He changed it to Bingo and, again, made another fortune. So this guy was pretty sharp. But he got Yahtzee and Bingo, and he created, or at least bought both of them, changed the names, did some marketing, and became quite wealthy.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, no, I'm just waiting for us to find one of those games that we could get rich and wealthy off of. Except Hawk's already playing everything on the phone.
He's probably playing this game.
No. Okay. Hey, listen, I just got it straight.
Kato, I've got an idea for a game where maybe you have these tiles with letters on them, and you try to make words.
That sounds like it's too hard. And plus, I played Scrabble with people, and they don't like my two-letter words.
Okay. But what if it was Scrabble with friends?
No.
That would be a neat idea for a game.
There is a game that I like to play. You have a quarter and a glass.
Okay. There's another similar one where it starts upright, and then you have to flip the cup afterwards.
Oh, mm-hmm. What is that?
Flip cup.
I'm not familiar with that one.
You fill it with water.
And then one, you got 10 cups, red cups,
mm-hmm.
and a ping pong ball.
Mm-hmm.
Beer pong?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and I, for me personally, I love playing games with the kids when they were younger.
Yeah.
It was
a lot of
fun.
Beer pong with your
no,
kids?
No, no, no.
Gotta learn somehow.
No, not like that. But, you know, you had the break the ice game, or you had Candyland. And the tough part was,
I love Candyland.
Candyland was fun. But then, you know, you'd win all the time, and all of a sudden, and you'd see their face, you know, kind of get bummed out.
Oh, yeah.
And then you try to lose at that point, and you keep rolling the good dice.
You ever notice when you try to lose is when you can't lose?
Exactly. It's horrible.
But I love playing my friends' kids. We'll play Old Maid and Go Fish. Those are fun games.
Uno. That's always a good standard.
Kato, those are good games. I have both of those on my phone.
Oh?
Yeah.
I don't want to play with
Go,
you.
Go Fish, they're great.
Really? Do you have Crazy Eights?
Yeah.
Arthur's? You remember those?
No.
Yeah, it was when I was a little kid, you had Arthur's. Look it up. Google it.
Are we talking about Arthur's or Arthur's?
Arthur's.
Like, which one did
like
you just
Mark
say?
Mark Twain and Shakespeare, and you have to match the authors.
To
the
what?
Authors?
Quotes?
Authors. Authors. Say it
you
with
mean
me.
Like with the knights and the round table? King Arthur.
No.
Oh, Sword in the Stone. I remember that.
Authors. Authors. Okay, never mind. Google it.
Otters.
No.
Hawk and Tom on B93.7.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.